Welcome to the Ranking Revolution podcast, your go-to source for strategies and ideas for SEO, organic growth, content creation, and online business. My name is Doug Cunnington, and I'm your host. This is part two of the interview with Barb Davids. And if you missed the first part, be sure to check it out. We talk about analyzing data and when it might be misleading. And now in this episode, we're going to talk about her progress and her journey from being a member of a corporate team in the marketing department to growing her own business and consultancy. She's also a digital nomad, and she's generally keeping the business small while trying to figure out how to scale it. And this is a challenge that I went through myself when I got laid off from my job in 2015. And it took me about 6 months to sort of figure out where I wanted to take the business. And it was a little sloppy, of course, like you can imagine when you don't know what you're doing. But this is a journey which was a struggle. It was difficult. There are many people that have gone from a corporate environment to being a solopreneur, but there might not be any in your immediate sort of circle of friends or your community. So it's a little bit of a tough journey because a lot of times you are by yourself until you establish a community. So I hope you find this conversation interesting. And let's get to it right now. Let's hear from Barb Davids.
Okay.
So you got fired from your other job and you were like, Okay, now it's time to go out on my own. Talk about that process and it was probably scary. So just kind of walk us through maybe the first year, 18 months or so.
Yeah, I lived off of unemployment, basically, and one or two clients. It wasn't enough to make any kind of income whatsoever. So I used that time to build up the client base and work through referrals mostly. And it seems like such a blur now. How did I do it? I know that I did a lot of work on my website and trying to market it that way. I think that was the big thing, was not doing enough networking. That really was an underutilized tool, in my opinion, for what I was doing at the time and how I was getting started. I think I should have networked more. I would definitely recommend that. And even though I mention this to my clients now, I never did it for my business back then, but like pushing out your content and making sure that it gets out there all the time and in various ways and repeating yourself, like that is such like the core component of, because if you don't, how are people going to know about you? That it's just like every other business, like when you buy shoes or you buy clothes, they're always out there. You can always see them in some form or fashion. But if you didn't know about them, you wouldn't buy them. So
how would you network?
That's a great question. I think conferences are good. I think people are probably getting a little overdone by computer Zoom calls or whatnot. So I would say conferences are probably pretty good. And also, there have been a lot more networking groups built up over the past couple of years in specific industries, specific demographics, whatnot. I think those are super helpful as well. I've tried to join a few of them, and not even just like for digital marketing specifically. Like I have done some that are based off of blogging. I have done some that are based off of digital nomading. And so it could be anything that like you like to do. It could just be that kind of group and talking with people about it that way. But the conferences, I think, are good just because you maybe things that are closer to your niche. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to articulate this exactly, but not necessarily going to the ones for digital marketing or for SEO or for content marketing, but going to conferences where those clients would be going. So maybe it's, well, I'm not going to have a good example, but something that's
some.
Next time. Oh, good. Go.
You went down the path. So I was going to say, would you go to industry conferences like SEO and marketing, or would you go to others? And this is a mistake that I've made too, Barb. So when I was reflecting on the podcast that I started in 2019 and some of the stuff that I've worked on, I was like, I should have been going to like a mom blog conference, or I started going to a personal finance conference, a huge one. It's called FinCon. And I have another podcast on personal finance. So I started going for that. But then I started bumping into a couple other peers that do more marketing stuff. And basically everyone else wants to know about SEO and marketing, or they want to know about podcasting or whatever. So you'll start seeing people that maybe I want to do talks on podcasting. So I can go to real estate. I can go to like a law conference and say, hey, you want to get more clients, like start a podcast. You can network like crazy. You can go to travel bloggers. Like there's so many different conferences. Basically, you could figure out how to wedge your content creation skills or your blogging skills or SEO or whatever, even just keyword research, and say, oh, keyword research comes into play for selling products on Amazon or for Pinterest or on SEO, like search engines, or anywhere people can search for something, Reddit. So all of a sudden you could take your skills and just like figure out how to frame it so it fits in like any other industry. And that, I think that's where you make like a huge amount of headwind, because not everyone else is talking about what you're talking about. You're special there. Mm-hmm. If you go to an SEO conference, we're all talking SEO. We all know the same stuff. So
right.
Any thoughts on that?
Nope. Fully agree. That was exactly what I was trying to say, but couldn't get out.
Yeah. Well,
perfect.
It only hit me in the last whatever couple months. And I was like, oh, I should have been talking about the keyword golden ratio everywhere else aside from SEO places, because some SEO people will argue with you. But if you say keyword golden ratio in other places, they're like, oh, that's a cool idea. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Awesome. Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the clients that you are working with currently and maybe how that has changed over the years, or if you're like focusing on one industry or how that kind of works.
So the ones I have with me right now have been with me almost since the beginning. And there have been, I fired two actually since the beginning. That was interesting. I always heard about that happening, but never actually did it. And it was mostly one was a lawyer and one was an air conditioning place. And both places were too needy, I think. And they were too up in my face and they wouldn't just let me do my thing. And I think that's what makes it difficult when people are having a hard time. Maybe they trust you, but they're having a hard time with for my business, for like SEO and content marketing, they're having trouble having patience and allowing things to happen. And so I just said, this wasn't a good fit. I'm going to have to let you go. And that's fine. And they got it too. I think that they realized, even though I set the expectation beforehand, they just couldn't keep the patience at all. It just wasn't going to work. So the other ones that I work with, I have different varying levels. And one is like a one-to-one consulting. Another one is kind of like on a maintenance package. So there's not much more that we can do outside of like pushing 20,000 more articles out there. But there's only so much you can write about for certain industries. So we're kind of like on a what do you want to call it? Yeah, the maintenance kind of thing. So we push out some new stuff and then we do some refreshing. So we kind of go back and forth between that. And then I have another client who has multiple brands, and I do everything in terms of marketing, not even just digital marketing, it's marketing general. And that was one of my first clients. And I always think that everybody has a story about their first client in some form or fashion. And that's what this one is. So it's been fun to watch her grow, because she was, okay, so she does ceremonies and weddings in Las Vegas. And before the pandemic, she was doing micro weddings. And so when the pandemic hit, and even though it closed down here for 3 months or whatever that was, she was already set for the type of wedding people were looking for afterwards, micro weddings, smaller weddings in Las Vegas. So that way you could just come in, get married, have a whole vacation, whatever. And so that really set the tone for her business. And it's been just going up ever since. And I think that's what's really fun in terms of the clients that I have, just watching them grow is the fun thing. So, and then I have those clients, and then I have the group coaching program for the people who contact me, but maybe can't afford me one-to-one. I still want to help them. I feel like when I was in digital marketing and doing the corporate stuff, I just wanted answers. And I felt like it was really difficult to get direct answers for me. People were really so tight with their answers. They didn't want to give them away. And so for this group coaching, I feel like this is a way to help more small business owners with what they need and integrating digital marketing to their business.
Got it. Can you go even deeper on the group coaching? We were chatting a little beforehand, and I know for me, thinking about the scalability of just like one-on-one help, and obviously that's expensive. Like our time is expensive because we could be literally doing anything else. So like one-on-one coaching is expensive, but like some people just cannot afford it. So again, can you just go deeper on the coaching? Like, how is it set up? What does the offer look like? And I guess, do you have any future plans to change it as you're seeing how everything is developing?
Yeah, I'm sure it'll change. Like I live in change. But it started last year. I only have a handful of members right now. And basically they got in at a certain amount. And I went back and forth about how I was going to structure this. And I'm sure it's going to change. But for right now, it's structured at a one price level. And they came in at a discounted price. And as long as they stay a member, they stay at that number, because I get so frustrated when I buy a tool or something and it's a lifetime. And then they say, nope, we've changed it. Now you have to start purchasing it. And it drives me insane. So for admin's sake and my sanity's sake, I'm like, okay, if you come in at that number, you're just going to stay that way as long as you stay a member. If you go out and come back in, then you have to come in at the price that it is at that time. So what they can do is they can come in. I just tell them they can use me when they want to, because I don't feel like I've seen a lot of other models like this with this particular type of content. So around digital marketing. So they come in and there's two coaching calls a week. And then there's one focus session, and they can come and go as they please or not show up, or they can come to Slack and ask questions. And basically it's a coaching environment. They might be like, one person has information. They just want to know how to do LinkedIn. They don't even do SEO or content marketing at all. They just want to do, well, they do content marketing because they're pushing out on LinkedIn, but that's their business. That's where they're going to be. I have another person who her strategy is more around guest posting. And she's going to move into blogs or refreshing her blogs, but it's more about getting on a guest posting piece because she's able to write for a very well-known website. I'm like, hey, do that. You're already getting traffic. Like, that's a great one to do. And then I have another one who hasn't used me at all. She's never been in any of the meetings. And so I think they took it literally, like they can just come in when they want, but at least they got me at the discounted rate, because by hourly, I'm $150 an hour. If they purchase the program, it's $197 a month. So it's at their best benefit to do it that way. And I feel like it's an affordable number. I didn't really have a rhyme or reason. Somebody just asked me this the other day. I didn't have a rhyme or reason other than what felt good. And I think by itself, if I went to look at who's using the program and who's not, it's kind of a mishmash of whether or not there's a return. But the idea is that it's scalable. So for my business model, it's scalable and I don't have to put all my eggs in one basket with just clients, one-to-one clients. And on the same time, I'm helping small business owners who needed the help like I did. So.
Makes sense. And if you look at, if they are a department head in a business, like $200 a month on a bunch of line items, like that's a reasonable amount to pay for like external support, expert opinions to help you solve a problem quickly instead of like wasting days and maybe picking the wrong one. So that makes total sense.
Right. Compared to $2,000 a month for a consultant.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Any other details? Like how are the leads coming in for the coaching program?
They are slow. I am working on my messaging. It's a very unique, how do I say this? It's a very unique program. And I think I'm still trying to land on the messaging. So it's always this thing too. I think for us small business owners, it's like the cobbler's shoe story, right? We do things and we can understand how to work other people's businesses. But when it comes to our own, it's a lot different story. Right. So I've been pushing out my message and I have been, I think, too tactical and too functional in my messaging. So I've been reworking it and trying to come up with a new way to get in front of people and using their pain points and their words, even though I thought I was doing that before, I'm learning that I'm not. And also trying to get like organic search, right, takes a while. So I've been working on that with my website. And on the other time, I do Instagram and LinkedIn because I feel like that's where my audience is. However, I'm at the mercy of the algorithm, right? So most of my stuff doesn't get seen, even though I've been out there for some time and publishing every single day. So yeah, it's one of those things.
Right. Well, and you have a podcast, right? So that I'm really a pusher of podcasts. So like I'm telling everyone, start a podcast. So tell me about your show some.
Yeah. So I started at the end of January And it's called Small Business Sweet Spot, and it's for helping small business owners make sense of digital marketing, knowing what works, what doesn't work. And ideally, my initial thought is to give information without all the fluff. Because a lot of the times when I'm trying to listen and learn, I feel like I get so much backstory. Like, I don't need that much backstory. I just need to know how to do the thing. And I'm not saying that backstory isn't good, but I am very much more a very straightforward, here's how you do it kind of person. So they aim to be a lot shorter. And then they, I feel like, are a little bit more realistic to say, okay, here's what you really need to look at. Here's what else you can do, but you don't need to. And it's actually both audio and video. So that was the other thing. I figured if I'm going in, I might as well do them both.
Yeah, highly recommend that. And on YouTube, you get the benefit of like some discoverability, where on the audio only side, people kind of have to be looking for you. And there's very few people that go in and search really hard. So Yeah. Okay. Well, cool. Where could people find you out there?
The easiest way to find me is just type in compassdigitalstrategies.com, and then that takes you all the places.
All right. Cool. And we'll link up both for the YouTube channel, the podcast, and all that stuff. And thanks a lot, Barb. Really appreciate it. And yeah, I guess we'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks, Doug.
Thanks a lot to Barb for hanging out with me. If you dig the episode, be sure to check out Compass Digital Strategies and her podcast. She actually interviewed me on her show where I talk about podcasting. And I think I make the case that everyone should have a podcast, regardless of any other thoughts that you might have that might be against podcasting. I think you should start one anyway. So you got to check out that episode to see why I'm so certain of myself, which now saying it out loud, I'm not even that certain of it. But I like podcasting. This is my third one. And if you want to help me out, I really appreciate it. Make sure you leave a review wherever you're listening to this. Make sure you're subscribed so you get all the episodes. And if you're listening to this and you made it all the way to the end of part two with Barb here, that means you're probably into SEO. And you probably like me a little bit because you've listened to this whole episode and you're still listening right now. And at this point, I'm just rambling a little bit. But here's the reason why I'm bringing it up. The thing is, you probably are interested in sort of algorithmic things. So one thing I'm doing with this show is I am separating interviews into two parts. I'm releasing them at the same time. I'm also launching the show with as many episodes as possible to sort of boost those downloads as well. And I'm trying to work with each of the folks that I interviewed to help share it around. So at least their audience will check out their episode. And if they happen to listen to a couple of others and they hear me really begging for these reviews and downloads, they may check it out. So here's the ask. You know, you leave those reviews, all that stuff, leave comments on YouTube, subscribe, all that good stuff. Download all the episodes you can wherever you're listening to it. Of course, that doesn't apply on YouTube, but for all the other podcast players, download all the episodes. That sends a really good message. This is my theory. It sends a really good message to Spotify or Apple that people are really enjoying the show, and it will boost the downloads in the beginning. And I am sort of manipulating how many downloads there might be because I'm publishing more episodes. And sometimes these are shorter. In fact, I'm going to be working on a series of pretty short episodes that are just short little essays that are, you know, 4 to 10 minutes long or so. And hopefully you'll really enjoy those, but I'm just going to cover one topic versus my other show, which potentially can cover many topics and ramble and so many different directions and tangents and all that stuff. So anyway, if you could do me a favor, download all the episodes, it'll be super awesome. And I will report back whether or not this works and whether people actually did download a lot of episodes. So that's it for today. We'll catch you on the next episode.